Acts 4 gives us a snapshot of resurrection community. And so, please, your pew Bibles are there. We haven't heard this text yet. It's four short verses, but it's four verses that will challenge us as a community for weeks and months and even a lifetime. Chapter 4, verse 32. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. First off, I want to stop at verse 32. The whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And I wonder, is it really possible for 21st century followers of Jesus in North America to do this? We have so much working against us, don't we? On Easter Monday, Sandy and I watched the movie The Secret Life of Bees. Anyone watch that? Some movie watchers out there. Secret Life of Bees, Dakota Fanning, Alicia Keys, Queen Latifah. It's this powerful story of community and grace and care and generosity, but also messiness and sorrow and struggle. These diverse sisters named August, June, and May Boatwright are diverse, different, quirky, but one in heart and soul. They call themselves the daughter of Mary, and there's kind of this religious worship thing that's going on in this movie that's interesting as well. In one part of the movie, August Boatwright says to Lily, this girl who's run away to find community amongst these sisters, she says, Lily's wants to run away from this community of love, and August says, "You listen to me now. There's love all around you." That's, I wonder if, can we create that kind of community here? And I think we get little glimpses of it. There's love all around you. What's the one thing that draws us together? The answer is Jesus. The same Jesus who called Mary last week. The same Jesus who says, "Follow me." But don't follow me just as individuals, but as a community of disciples. And so, First Baptist Church, in the spring of 2009, how can we endeavor to be this one kind of community? Instead of First Baptist Church, I was thinking maybe we should call ourselves One Baptist Church. Because First sounds so arrogant sometimes, right? Well, we're First Baptist Church. What if we called ourselves One Baptist Church? And I'm, you know, just to capture more of that unity. And I'm not saying we're all going to be these clones, but one community of believers who are brought together by one living, resurrected Savior. How do we capture this spirit of oneness during the season of Easter? We have generations of believers before us and in our sacred text who we read the story of this oneness. And so I'm going to say a couple of things about this one movement. And the first is that this one movement testifies. If you've still got your Bibles open, verse 33, "With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." This one movement testifies. I was inspired by the two phrases there, great power and great grace. I'd build a church on that kind of statement. We talk about being a people who seek the peace and well-being of the city. I think great power, great grace would be another phrase that would go hand in hand with that idea. And this power isn't from our skill. It's not from our purses or our pocketbooks. This great power is from the resurrected Lord. And if he is alive, like we say he is, then that ought to make a difference in what we testify about. And Luke, who writes the book of Acts, encourages us with this idea that as we share our testimonies with great power, we will experience this great grace. I'd like to challenge us during the season of Easter to be a one community, a one movement, to be one Baptist church that testifies of this great power and great grace. Secondly, not only do we see a one movement that testifies, but in these short verses in chapter 4, we see this one movement also, what I say, equalizes. And if you look at verse 34 and 35 again, there was not a needy person among them. For as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. These, again, are just these super, super challenging verses for us as North American believers. But I might add that I think the younger generation amongst us looks at these verses and says, yeah, when the church starts doing that kind of stuff, that's going to pique my interest. I might be wrong, but have a conversation with someone under 30 in the next week or so and talk about this verse and say, hey, us at One Baptist are thinking of trying to share our resources better. Does that interest you? Just throw that out there. Because culture's really working against us, but I don't think we should just give up and say, well, let's just be North Americans and have our high fences and keep our stuff to ourselves and not share resources or not share emotional energy or anything like that. It's going to be a slow work. It won't be an easy work. It involves sacrifice. It involves us having to really examine our hearts and see if we are open to generosity versus kind of that scarcity mentality. Are we open to being a people who really do share our resources rather than hoard them? It's a slow work. And I think the gospel text from John 20 is helpful here. We can get anxious about this. We can get stressed out. We can kind of get freaked out. And how can we do this? How can we live out this passage? We can kind of have that behind locked doors mentality. But the living Christ comes to us and says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Three times in that section from John 20 that we heard this morning, peace be with you. And it's not just verbal, but Jesus in this text also breathes on these disciples, breathes on them the Holy Spirit. So it's not, again, something that we just conjure up in our own strength, but it's because the Holy Spirit, the resurrected Christ, goes with us as we try to dream, as we try to reimagine what it means to be this one movement that equalizes. So, two simple ideas that will take us a lifetime. This one movement testifies with great power and great grace. This one movement equalizes, tries to be a community of believers who share resources, who take care of one another. How do we do this? I titled the sermon this week, We the Resurrection, and I was cautioned not to make this a humanistic sermon where it's we pulling this off in our own strength. But we the resurrection because Christ lives in us, the hope of glory. We the resurrection because Christ is the foundation. Christ is the cornerstone. Christ is the head of the church. A couple of questions that pop up in my mind are, why do we do this? How do we do this? When I think about the why, I think it's because we want to follow Jesus in that way of the cross. And it's a journey of struggle. It's a journey of joy, but it's also a journey of sacrifice. We want to share the realities of a living Christ. Maybe that's why we do it. Maybe you'll have other motivations that you come up with this week. How do we do it? I want to follow up on last week and say, I think we do it through resurrection meals, by sharing and talking about resurrection wonder, and by cultivating resurrection friendships. I want us to keep on working with that over the season of Easter, to be this one movement that talks about resurrection wonder, that invites others over for resurrection meals, and that presses into resurrection friendships. I hope today that you can say, I have resurrection friendships in my life. I have people in my life who I call spiritual friends, or I have people in my life who I call spiritual mentors, or I have people in my life who I call spiritual directors. I hope you can say that. If not, I encourage you to pray with open eyes to see if maybe there's some people in this congregation who might be those spiritual friends, those spiritual mentors, those spiritual directors in your life. As we close today, I want us to listen and pray. And I want us to have an outward focus of prayer. Who is that one, or who are those one or two people that you need to invite into this resurrection movement? And so maybe this week it is being one who testifies about the resurrection. Or maybe this week it's being one who talks about the hope that you have. Or maybe it's one, or maybe it's being a movement that equalizes this week. Maybe you just say, I'm going to share my resources with someone this week. And it's this person, Lord, because I sense that you've placed them in my life to do that. So, 1 minute of prayer, just quiet prayer, open to the Holy Spirit leading you to that one or two people that you might share the resurrection with this week. Don't invite them to our church just so that they'll be like us. Invite them because this is a one movement where hopefully we are being a people of grace and mercy, seeking the peace and well-being of the city. Let's pray together with outward prayers, asking God to show us those one or two people that he calls us this week to share resurrection blessings and resurrection hope with. Let's pray. Living God, you've given us so much. And so we cannot stay behind closed doors. But you breathe on us the breath of life, the breath of hope, the breath of resurrection power, and you say, peace be with you. And then you send us out to be a people who share that peace and hope. And so keep on revealing those people to us. Those one or two names or faces of people that we need to bring resurrection hope to this week. Or we somehow need to share a meal or some resource with them to remind them of a living Christ. To remind them that there's a body of believers in Edmonton who care, who have compassion, who are responding to the call of God on our lives. Speak to us. Living Christ, speak to us, lead us, empower us, give us courage and conviction. This week, we pray. Amen.